So eventually you had to leave, of course, Czechoslovakia as well.
Yes, well, with the annexation of the Sudetenland.
So they went into the Sudetenland in October 38.
I have no idea, of the date. But then the students rioted, sorry, at the Prague University and the Charles University, and my father was advised not to come and lecture in German. So he was without work. But his association with Einstein, he started writing to various people that he knew, and one of them was Sir Arthur Eddington. Both my fa our father, uncle's expeditions were clouded over, but Eddington was the first one to get a result. So they were in correspondence, and in fact, after the First World War, when Eddington came to Germany to meet Einstein, my uncle, adoptive father, was there as a dolmetscher, a translator. So he wrote to various people, Eddington amongst them, and Eddington said, strangely, there was a vacancy in St Andrews in Scotland, and my father, my uncle, father, uncle, what do you want me to call
I
him?
think call him your father. It's
Call him my
easier.
father, right. Said he was on a lecture tour in Holland, so he could easily come over to be interviewed. So he was interviewed with, incidentally, also the help of the Astronomer Royal, and that's another story. He was interviewed by the principal of St Andrews University on literally the day the Nazis rolled into Prague.
Which was in March 39.
Yes, March 15th of March 1939. So my father said, I'll take your job if you can get my wife and children out.
He must have been very worried.
He was. He was.
So, how did they manage that?
Well, there was a lecturer in the Department of German at St Andrews University who just happened to be in London doing his own research. So his wife sent a telegram. Sorry, I should mention this man, Laurie Wardale, who I refer to as my Scarlet Pimpernel.
Well, just like the Scarlet Pimpernel, he managed to whisk you out of Prague, did he?
Yes, well, his wife sent him a telegram saying, can you fetch family freundlich expenses paid? So my father went hot foot, night train, down to London, armed with money and all sorts of addresses and things. And there is a very amusing, may I digress again, through a strange set of circumstances, years and years later, I came across Wardale's daughter, who had been, believe it or not, interviewed by Margaret Drabble for a book that she was writing. I met Margaret Drabble, and I was telling her this story. And she said, oh, I interviewed Carol. She now lives in Cumbria. And again, quite a few years elapsed, and I happened to open the book by Margaret Drabble. And I looked in the, at the back, the sort of
The
people.
appendix.
Yes. So it just said, Carol Dawbarn, Cumbria. So I was at that point separated, footloose, fancy free. So I rang Directory Inquiries and said, can you give me a number for Dawbarn? I said, that's all I have, Sedbergh or Cumbria. And within seconds, the man said, shall I put you through? And I said, oh, no, just give me the number. So I rang Carol. Renata. Renata! So she said, she wasn't well, but I was footloose and fancy free. Come and see me. So I came within a couple of days, drove down, and almost, I was hardly inside the door when she gave me a rather grubby manila file in which was the entire correspondence between her father and her mother back in St Andrews, the telegrams. And she said, although she now had grandchildren, this wasn't her story. She gave it to me, and it's
That's lovely.
absolutely amazing what's in that.
Absolutely amazing. So, what did he do? How did he get you out? Did he take a plane to Prague then to rescue you?
Yes. Well, first of all, they obviously he had to go, I think, to the German embassy and get permission to go, because my father didn't dare go in. And Laurie said, while he was sitting waiting, he could see my father pacing up and down, because if you say it was an ordinary sort of office with half obscured window, well, half glazed, you know, and all he could see was my father's hat walking backwards and forwards. And oh, he'd been given a letter dated, the 18th of March.
Sorry.
By the principal of the university. 18th March, saying, Mayor, this is to certify that Professor Dr. Erwin Findlay Freundlich, formerly of Prague, has been appointed to be Napier Lecturer in Astronomy and Director of the Astronomical Observatory. The appointment is approved by the Home Office, which has given permission to Professor Freundlich, together with his wife and two children, to reside in Great Britain. Dr. Freundlich is already in this country, and it is requested that every facility be given to his wife and family to proceed to St. Andrews to join him. So armed with that letter. So it was very unfortunate that both Laurie Wardale and his wife would just write, they didn't put dates on their letters, just Tuesday or Friday. And he wrote a great big long letter. It took him several days until he got to Prague. I know he flew from Croydon to... I'd have to look it all up and tell you.
It was certainly a very dangerous journey, I think.
It
very
was.
Brave.
I know.
And of course, there weren't passenger flights in those days.
Well, there were passenger flights until the very last minute.
Ah.
Once Laurie had got to us, right, we just missed the last plane.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, to come back to Turkey. Some of his Erwin's problems in Turkey was... He wanted to get some of his equipment for his observatory from Britain, and the Turks didn't want this. The Turks had been in with the Germans, but Ataturk was clever enough to entice, you know, the Jewish people that wanted to emigrate to them. But anyway, Erwin went to the British consul in Turkey and met ever such a nice man, Mr. Huff, who was also musical. And you won't believe it, but Mr. Huff went to Prague at the same time as the Freundlich family in 1937. So we had met. We had been there for tea. And where does he live? But right opposite Prague Castle. Anyway, so he had said to my mother, give me your jewels, give me your money, I'll send it out in the diplomatic bag. But in the end, that didn't happen. But he said... Right, while you and Laurie Wardale are busy trying to get the furniture packed, my father was going hairless. You know, he just wanted... But my mum, she packed a whole lift. All our furniture came. Anyway, Mr. Huff said, send Nanny and the children to me. So we were in the... I thought it was the British Embassy, but again, in 1994, I was in Prague and went to, first of all, to the embassy. And they let me look out of the window and said, I said, no, that's not the place. And then, by sheer chance, I happened to find that he lived in a big, tall building, which was once opposite the top end of the Hradschin. And this is something that horrifies my daughter, or rather keeps wanting me to tell this story. We were having our 11s, sitting sort of on the window, looking over to the castle, when a great big entourage came out and went down the side of the hill. Somebody was standing up, and there was a flagpole beside the corner of this building, and somebody was hoisting up a Czech flag as this car with, I don't know who it was, whether it was Hitler or Goering.
That was very provocative to do that when the Nazis were there.
So anyway, somehow we got onto the train. Oh, and Laurie sent a marvellous telegram to his wife, which is, the first one is, can you go Prague and fetch family friendly? Expenses paid, please wire. This one is dated St. Andrews, 27th March. Endlich Prague, finally arrived in Prague, after several flights. and train journeys and crossing borders. I even have his passport, Laurie's passport.
Tell us, he got you on the train, the whole family and the nanny.
And wait a minute. Oh, yes, another one dated... Well, this was strangely dated, the 3rd of April. Bringing flock back Wednesday.